you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Maggie Perloff, we're live from Radio Row in New Orleans. It's day three here. We are just hitting our stride, I feel like. This is when it starts getting really good because you have fans who are flying in from all over the country, mostly Philly, though, and a little Kansas City. Pearl, we start talking about who has the most at stake in this Super Bowl. And to me, the answer is clear and obvious. And I don't think you and I agree on the one person who's feeling the most pressure heading into this game.
Well, I mean, it is a Super Bowl. It is definitely a must-win game. So everyone's feeling pressure. But you think one person stands out above everyone else?
Absolutely. And it's because we live in an era where we are in a quarterback-centric, just this is the league. The league is about quarterbacks. And Patrick Mahomes is already game, set, match as the more dominant quarterback in this matchup. We're talking about him all time. I don't think one game can actually change anything, really, about Mahomes' legacy, because he's going for the three-peat. But, you know, he's either year one or 1A, and we're just going to decide where he lands on the Mount Rushmore, not whether he's on it. Jalen Hurts, on the other hand, I think still has major question marks and TBD. And I'm just going to add to this with the particular market that he's playing in. There are some teams where it's just awesome to make the Super Bowl and you love your quarterback because of that. If Jalen Hurts loses two Super Bowls to the Chiefs and their three-peat has two Eagles L's on it, I think that the Philly fan base is going to say enough with this guy. They're going to question. They're going to wonder if he costs them a shot at a title.
Well, I disagree because I disagree with your premise. It is not the era of the quarterback. The era of the quarterback died this year. Okay. Now it is the era of the running back. I think this team, if they're going to win the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles, it is going to be a Saquon Barkley show. They want to hand him the ball 30 times because they do not want Patrick Mahomes to have the ball. So I think this could sound weird. Jalen Hurts is a role player in some sense. He's a six man. He is
That's impossible.
And by the way, he might throw a lot. If he does that, it's just because the Chiefs defense is gearing up for Barkley. Yeah. This is not a Jalen Hurts project in Philly. And you're right. No, Philly could easily turn on him. Trust me, they want to turn on him. They are
they're
ready. They're always ready to turn on the starting quarterback.
Yeah,
that's absolutely
salivating.
True. But this is not looking like a Jalen Hurts game. I feel like the Eagles have just a much broader offensive plan, really centered around Saquon Barkley. There's so much more pressure on Patrick Mahomes specifically. That three-peat thing is everything. It's huge. Jalen Hurts, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, he probably won't win the MVP. It'll probably be Barkley. So I think everything is going to come down to Mahomes. Mahomes has a chance to do something unprecedented. If Mahomes loses this game, so he'll have three Super Bowl titles, then the Mahomes versus Brady debate will be on, but simmering.
Yeah.
It will be fully in our face if he wins this game. This is just a gigantic historical game for him, where Jalen Hurts, just like the last Super Bowl, like, you don't quite know what to expect. He could have a great game. He might not have a great game, but he's just not the key part of the Eagles. He threw for 2,900 yards this year. That's like 1982 numbers.
Okay.
That is not era of the quarterback kind of stuff.
Okay, well, yeah, he missed a couple games too, but the total, yes, was down, because if you have this weapon like Saquon Barkley and teams can't stop him, well, then you lean into that.
Yeah.
But you don't think that defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo's got something in store for Barkley? Again, like, he's faced good running teams. He understands what's going on, and they're going to try to make Hurts the thrower.
Yeah, he faced a good one last game.
Yeah.
James Cook got 6 yards into the secondary before anyone touched him.
I know. But the
Eagles saw that game tape. They were going to do the same exact thing.
They were able to run the ball, and then the Bills kind of went away from it a little bit.
I know.
Let's not get into that, because it's going to bring up some bad memories.
The second I said that, I was like, oh, boy.
My face just dropped.
A flash of disappointment across your mind.
All of a sudden, I'm looking like Luca at the press conference, just slumped over in a chair.
The Chiefs knew the Bills wanted to run the ball and couldn't stop them. So I think the Eagles are going to commit to the run. even if it's not working great at first, I think that's coming
okay.
their way.
Okay, but here's the thing. I do think that they will learn something from that game. James Cook, Saquon Barkley, very different runners. And I also believe, and this is why Jalen Hurts has the most at stake. You know, to be fair, Hurts played a really great game against the Chiefs in Super Bowl 57.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Outside of a fumble that led to a scoop and score by Nick Bolton. The Eagles were up 14-7, and this was midway about through the second quarter, and they were driving. And Jalen Hurts ended up not getting maybe as much smoke as he probably should have for that, considering the game came down to, you know, it ended up being a shootout. Jalen Hurts has over 300 yards passing in that game, and it was a James Bradbury defensive holding that ultimately set up the Chiefs for the win. But let's not forget some of the details here.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles had a 6-point lead going into the fourth quarter. They allowed the Chiefs to score 17 points in the fourth quarter and lost that game. If Jalen Hurts has another bad turnover, it's going to be, we saw it in Super Bowl 57, mm-hmm. we saw it again in Super Bowl 59. Now, to Hurts' credit, he is not throwing picks. I'm going to knock on wood for you. He is not throwing picks in these playoff games.
He's not throwing picks? He's not Ever. A picks guy. He's
not a picks guy.
Him and Mahomes do not give the ball up much.
Okay, but we have to envision a scenario where the Chiefs do have a game plan for Barkley, and now all of a sudden it's Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown who become the major thing. And you then are opening yourself up. Obviously, you become more vulnerable there. So I think Jalen Hurts, this is it. You know, you and I talk about, like, legacy. You know, Jalen Hurts, when this was 2 years ago, there were people who believed that he was on a rocket ship to be a top five quarterback in the league. He got paid, but we've seen the Philadelphia Eagles trade guys out of town like Carson Wentz, who they also paid.
Who also was on a rocket ship.
Who was also on a rocket
ship.
Yep. You're right. And Howie Roseman, the GM for the Eagles, just the only loyalty is to whatever he thinks is best for the team. And you love that in a GM. Yep. But if I'm Jalen Hurts and if I come up short in this game, I'm probably looking around like, man, is Howie going to replace me?
Well, the other thing, too, is like, there's no way Jalen Hurts, I'm sorry, like, there's no way he's going to have as good a game as he did last time. Is that possible? That was almost the perfect game. I've never seen him. He was really good in the NFC title game, by the way, but he was perfect in the Chiefs game. He kept on running away from pressure and finding guys. Like, he has not had a game like that since. So I don't.
So was it a one-off? Who was the real Jalen Hurts?
I don't think that Jalen Hurts is available anymore. I'd be shocked if he had like a perfect rating again. I will be shocked. But they don't need it. That's like, this is a.
They may, though.
Let me ask you a question, Maggie. Yeah. Is this team better than the last team?
I think this team is better.
I know you think that.
Yeah.
And guess what? That means less Jalen Hurts. That means Saquon Barkley possessed the ball, set up this ferocious defense. It's a totally different formula.
Okay, but let's take this thing like the global 30,000-foot view.
Yeah.
100-plus million people are going to be watching this game.
Mm-hmm.
Where are everyone's eyes? On the quarterback. Something bad happens. Jalen Hurts is going to wear it because that is how this works. And no one's going to look back and say, well, this was really a group project and Jalen Hurts was the sixth man or whatever you're saying. And I understand it because you watch every Eagles game. We watch every Eagles game. But in front of 100-plus million people, if something happens, we saw, you know, people blaming Lamar Jackson, people blaming Josh Allen. The blame generally goes to the quarterback when things go bad.
Yeah, because those guys are the entire offense, except for, I know Lamar Jackson has Derrick Henry. Okay, let's look at some stat lines here. As I mentioned, Jalen Hurts was on fire in the NFC title game against a terrible defense, threw for 246 yards. In the game before that against the Rams, 128 yards. It was bad weather. And against Green Bay, 131 passing yards. These are pedestrian numbers. They're not even pedestrian. These are Tim Tebow numbers. So I don't think
Tim
all
catching astray.
I honestly think that they really want a lot of Saquon. I mean, of course, that is the formula. You do not want Patrick Mahomes on that field.
Okay. But
by the way, the Chiefs are the same way. They're going to try and possess the ball as well. This is going to be a slog of a game, possibly, because the defenses are really good.
So here's the thing. You know that Saquon Barkley is the focal point of the offense. I know it.
Yep.
You don't think Steve Spagnuolo knows it?
Spagnuolo knew the Bills never pass the ball. The Bills don't pass the ball either, and he had no answer for their run.
Yeah, but James Cook is not the same focal point of the offense. Josh Allen is still the focal point. Like,
well,
it's a different game plan.
I actually, The Eagles will not. Well, Eagles won't go as run heavy as the Bills did in the second half of that game. The Eagles have never done that a whole drive without passing.
I can see this as coming down to Jalen Hurts and his ability to get the ball to the playmakers. Yeah. Who, let's be honest, if you put it on paper, the Eagles have the better playmakers.
Right.
So why you wouldn't use them in the biggest game of the year doesn't make sense. And we also saw in Super Bowl 57, Devontae Smith, big game.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown, big game. Devontae Smith had over 100 yards receiving, and A.J. Brown almost got there. So they're going to pass, I think. No, there was no Barkley. Kenneth Gainwell is not Barkley.
And Miles Sanders.
And Miles Sanders, excuse me.
Yeah. No, Gainwell was a big part of that, too. So I'm
Miles Sanders, Saquon Barkley's backup at Penn State.
So Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs defense coordinator, he wants the Eagles to pass the ball, right? That's his goal. He's going to stop.
Well, pick your poison.
So if I'm if you're Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore, I think you do not play into their hands and start passing, because you do not want 3rd and 10 going against Steve Spagnuolo. You want to stay conservative. Just do not put Jalen Hurts in the position to make that bad play, Maggie. It's all about game management. Don't let him throw an interception, because he's never going to throw it.
855-212-4227. We're here on Radio Row in New Orleans, but that doesn't mean we can't hang out. You guys can call us. We can chit-chat. EJ, can we throw a poll question up, please, at M&P? More at stake in this game, Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes? I think you're crazy if you think it's Mahomes. Because Mahomes, he's hovering above everyone except for Brady. Like, that's the last thing we're looking for. And Jalen Hurts isn't even close to that conversation.
Right. But Mahomes might not get another chance at a three-peat. Like, this is one great chance at history. And also, Mahomes is a much more central part of his team than Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is clearly the second star on this offense behind Saquon Barkley. And where Mahomes is really the entire Chiefs offense in a weird way. I know they have Kelsey.
Yeah.
But we actually thought, remember week one this year, the Chiefs started off against the Ravens. Isaiah Pacheco was running like crazy. We're like, wow, they're really good. They're going to have a star running back this year. They're going to have. And then, but look, what happens against the Bills? It's like, oh, it's Mahomes. It's Mahomes. They never scored more than 30 all year long. Then
until
all of a sudden they put 32 against the Bills. It's the same awesome Chiefs Mahomes thing.
Let's hear from Jalen Hurts addressing the media yesterday. Manny, let's hear cut 20. Hurts on those who still doubt that he's an elite quarterback.
It's not about them. It's always about the work you put in, and everything being a reflection of the work. And so I've always had a focus on myself and trying to improve and ultimately want to beat the opponent, whoever's in front of you. But just trying to improve and take it a day at a time.
And Jalen Hurts also saying that he is grateful for this chance to avenge the loss 2 years ago.
You put a lot of hard work in for moments like this. Lots of hard work, lots of time, lots of energy. And it's a blessing to have this opportunity.
Okay, so I think he said it also, the loss lit a fire under him.
Yeah.
And I know you're not big on, well, if you need these kind of motivational things, like, shouldn't the motivation just be coming from inside? I think Hurts feels like he has a lot at stake here.
I don't just believe that. It lit a fire, and all of a sudden he started throwing for 40% less the next season. Like, what happened? If it lit a fire, why did he get objectively worse?
Well, he can't go rogue. He's got to go in the game plan, right?
Lit a fire on him, and he kind of disappeared for 2 years.
He was roasting marshmallows over that fire.
It was a little shocking how good he was against the Commanders. Like, whoa, we haven't seen that guy forever. It is interesting. I the way he talked, it doesn't feel like there's a fire under Jalen Hurts. He just feels like a cool customer. Mm. Like, that's why I don't expect him to panic in the Super Bowl. He seems a bit not oblivious to the pressure. He's just a different kind of quarterback. I don't see him going out there and having a Jared Goff multiple turnover game.
Right, Justin Herbert, something like that. Yeah. Well, Hurts did address that. Manny, let's play cut 19, says finishing is most important in these games.
Coming to these opportunities in these games, everything is about finishing. You want to have the right focus in that, and that comes with the preparation, the work that you put in. But ultimately, it's about finishing.
Yeah, and that's what the Chiefs have hung their hat on. That's their hallmark. We'll see if the Eagles can snatch a little. 855-212-4227. Who's got more at stake in this game? Is it Jalen Hurts or is it Patrick Mahomes? Perloff says Mahomes for going for history and all that's on the line. The comparisons to him and Brady will be forever if he can pull off this three-peat. And then, and I think it's Hurts. So, real talk, We had a celebrity sighting yesterday. Maybe Perloff's favorite player. One of your favorite players of all time.
Celebrity. Oh, so an athlete.
An athlete. Not current.
Maybe.
God in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
A god amongst men.
Well, I know, but the slight injury, though.
Well, always, but he's still effective.
No, he shook my hand. I have a slight injury. That dude is so strong. It was crazy.
Yes, it was. Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson. Perloff always says the key to everything for Philadelphia is all about Lane Johnson.
If Lane Johnson's not on the field, they might as well not show up.
And so yesterday when we were waiting for our Uber to go to the crawfish boil, of which Perloff and I had a major bet yesterday that was paid off, a major competition contest that we'll get more into as the show goes on. It was it was intense. It was, I'm like trailing off into the distance. It was a lot of crawfish. Anyway, got to talk to Lane Johnson.
Awesome. Very nice man.
And he shook your hand like really strongly.
Yeah. EJ,
he didn't shake my hand strongly. Too, right?
Yeah, he shook my hand. He's it was firm. It was firm. Oh, yeah. I didn't feel like my hand was crushed.
For me, he got me good. Not quite Adrian Peterson style, but honestly, for him, it was like the effort of flicking off a fly. But he is just like, he's a much stronger man than Andrew Perloff.
It's funny. This is obviously something that women don't deal with ever. Man handshake and who's got the, like, is it a competition every time you shake another man's hand?
Well,
who's got the firmer grip?
The entire world has changed, though. Handshakes are weird now. After COVID, handshakes is that people fist bump.
Right.
Or elbow
bump. He went
in
for the handshake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was him. I would have done whatever.
I'd say the number of handshakes at the Super Bowl is down 100%. It's like half.
Yeah.
Because it's just weird. If you think about it, it's kind of gross, right?
Yeah.
This is why I think people in Japan always bow. It's like, it's way more sanitary.
Yeah, fist bump. And now people don't even want to do fists, so they elbow each other. Have you noticed that?
Don't be an elbow person. Yeah. Unless you're actively sick.
A hug is actually less gross than a handshake.
Lots of hugs. I mean, it's that type of thing. But I'll say Lane Johnson, nice person for the brief interaction we had in the lobby of the hotel. We know someone in common, so that helped. The great JR, Jim Ross, is a mutual friend. And he didn't shake my hand hard, though, but that would have been weird. That would have been odd.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know if Pearl agrees, but I think there's a difference if I was a man.
Definitely.
The woman handshake and the man handshake.
Of course.
I'm not coming in to crush
that would be weird.
Diana Rossini's hand if I get to see your hand. You know what I'm saying? That's a different mindset.
Yeah. And it's just though women don't have this dynamic where I feel like men, it's like you judge each other on your handshakes. Like, don't you?
But
I'm sure my husband will teach my son, got to have a firm handshake.
No longer a thing.
Okay.
Because nobody handshakes. Yeah, the handshake was I really think
Can you put that on the poll? Are handshakes out?
Oh my God, there's no. I guarantee it's 80%. It's not. It's kind of a weird thing to do.
That was such a big thing, and now it's just gone.
I don't know. Do you shake people's hands?
I shake tons of hands.
Well, when you meet somebody the first time, you shake their hands.
I
but when
the
you
hand
see them
out.
The second time, you do not.
I'm shaking hands all the time.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm doing it to avoid the hug, I'm going to be honest. So it's a preemptive, I put my hand out so that it doesn't get weird and I've got to awkwardly hug somebody like Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers and it's just butt out.
I mean, listen, we all have the ultimate guide in how this works. Tiger Woods. Remember the Tiger Woods?
Oh, yeah.
The
big dog. Sup, big dog?
Yeah, yeah. Just I am
it's
so
a
awkward.
90-degree
I'm putting it here, so we're going to do the bro hug, and you don't have to worry about it. And it's just this guy's so stiff.
Oh, my gosh. I got bro hugged the other day. It's so off-putting when it's a woman. I can't. It's not part of, my nature.
Another woman bro hugged you?
No. That would be out of the solar system if another woman bro hugged
me. I'll say this. This is, to be honest, that's the most respectful thing I think a man can do is to give you the bro hug.
But the problem is for women, that's maybe true. I've never thought about it, but I'm not ready for it you guys are because no one ever does that to women. Mm.
Did you ever see the viral video of when Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union were sitting front row at an All-Star game and J. Cole comes up, the rapper. He gives Dwayne Wade the hand dap bro hug and he looks at Gabrielle Union. It just does the same thing. Hand dap bro hug because that's, just we're friends. We're
being respectful. Another man's wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's funny. Didn't want probably a viral moment. 855-212-4227. Our handshakes out. Most important poll today. And two, who's got more at stake in this game? Is it Patrick Mahomes? Is it Jalen Hurts? Let us know what you think. We're live from Radio Row in New Orleans. Awesome guest list today. Really excited to talk to some of these heavy hitters. We're back in a minute. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. We've been following our next guest, his career. It's been a rocket ship. It's Nate Tice. He's a Yahoo Sports NFL analyst. He's a former quarterback at Wisconsin, of course. And he's the host of Football 301. Let me get this right. Football 301 on Yahoo Sports with Matt Harmon and Charles McDonald. It's a fantastic listen, especially if you are geeky about the NFL. Mm-hmm. Nate, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, geeky is a good way to put it. Yeah, and then even they say the Football 301, they're like, this is great for SEO. So like we're just, and I was like, fine, we've got a number in it, we got football in it. A little pretentious, but no, it's a lot of fun because we get into the weeds a little bit.
Yeah,
about
I mean,
all
you geeky, but you guys can beat people up. I'm like me, I'm
yeah,
just a
true.
Geek without the size.
That is the irony of all of it. Two of us played, and the other guy, Matt Harmon, who's really good with receivers and fantasy reception perception. He's like 6'3", 250.
Yeah, you're intimidating. We get it. Intimidating more than us. Okay, so we were just actually before you came on talking about some quarterbacks in this class. I know we got the Super Bowl to get to and all that, but it's always draft season around here. So Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, who do you see as the better of the two?
I have Cam Ward as my QB1 right now, and I think that's not going to change, even with the combine, everything to come. A lot of it, but it's all with a grain of salt and context. Mm-hmm. He's QB1 in this class. He would have been probably QB5 last year if I had to rank it, maybe even lower. But I think that's where I look at him and when my big board will come out, my updated one, he'll probably be in my teens. And this is the difference between a big board and where they go in the actual draft. Quarterbacks always kind of have that half round inflation, sometimes full round inflation if you're talking about like maybe a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix. Mm. But with these guys is I think Cam Ward has the upside that you want from a real needle moving quarterback. And I think if you watch the playoffs, especially the AFC, it's really run game. And do you have a quarterback that can do stuff and create? And I think that's what Cam Ward is, like a Diet Coke Steve McNair, where it's like he's got size. He's not the most excellent runner, but he's a good runner. Mm-hmm. He's got a good arm, maybe not an excellent arm, but he can create and he can do stuff off script. And that's what you want. You want the Mahomes, the Josh Allen, the Lamars, the Joe Burrows. You want to do stuff in structure and then you want to create out of structure. He can do a little of both. Are they both perfect? No, but he's the one that I would take a chance on in the top 10, which again, it's a big, big mark. I have Shedeur as more a guy on my big board that would be like late 20s. But again, quarterback desperation is so real. We see how many open seats there are at quarterback in the league right now. There's only so many that can fill them. So if I'm Sam Darnold's agent, I'm the happiest guy in the world because I'm just going like, yeah, I see that class. I see what's going on. So I think it's going to be real interesting which guy gets bumped up. And now there's rumors from other guys and interest as coaches are getting their eyes on these guys. So you saw some Jackson Dart hype, which I don't agree with. But then you saw other names kind of coming up. But those are really the two. And then it's truly dart throws this year. And that's how the draft class is this year. Not a lot of blue chippers. So
Nate, you mentioned the running game coming up. Like it was a year of the running back.
Yeah.
Ashton Jeanty, we're on in Boise. I'm seeing him in mock drafts between 5 and 15, which, you know, the trend of not drafting running backs might be dying after this year. Do you see him going high?
I do. He's the talent. He's one of those blue chippers. Like Dane Brugger from The Athletic and I had a show last week, and he offhand goes, how many blue chips, blue chips is true first round grade. Guys go in the first round, but they're great. There's 32 spots. They got to get filled. To me, it's like 4, 5, and he's one of them. Ashton Jeanty is one of them. And to me, in this class, too, because the best players are not at those typical positions that go high, it's a really good defensive line class, not just edges, but defensive tackles. It's a really good running back class. It's a really good tight end class. Receivers, eh. Offensive line, okay. Quarterbacks, okay. So I think that it's more of a BPA, best player available. Mm. And that's why I think Jeanty will go high because of that, because of the lack of other premium spots. And also there is sometimes it's chasing the leader, and it's something I believe in anyways, but if we're going to give a guy 20 touches, might as well be good. You know, like if we're going to give a running back this many touches, I know there's the whole running backs don't matter kind of movement, which I think a lot of people are realizing they actually do. It's because the floor is so high for running backs. Mm-hmm. You can find replacement-level running backs, but a good running back is still a good running back, and we see that with some of these teams. So I see him going high or a team even maybe moving up for him because he can play all three downs. He can pass protect, he can catch, so he's on the field, and that's impactful to the game. So, yeah, I see him going top 15.
Nate Tice knows what he's talking about. Nate Tice is a Yahoo Sports NFL analyst, and he's the host of Football 301 on Yahoo Sports and former quarterback who played at Wisconsin. We'll get into that in just a little bit. You mentioned Sam Darnold, and his agent would be salivating because he's got all these options now. didn't play well the last two games, seemed like he got exposed just a little bit, and considering his history, you know, is it sustainable? One, and two, where do you think is a good fit for him?
So I, the fan fiction that I've kind of been writing in my head is the Titans. Just because, I don't know, I think the Titans have a lot more pieces than people realize. I think their defense is actually, they kind of gave up in the last month or two of the season once they kind of like, oh, we're going with this guy again, meaning Will Levis. But I think they have better players than people realize. And their offensive line with Bill Callahan as a coach, they have Calvin Ridley, so they have a de facto number one. So they actually have decent pieces, I think more than people realize. To me, it's more of a vet quarterback situation than a rookie quarterback situation with that, like where it's like they want to get a guy and launch from there.
Yep.
In this fiction that I've written of him going to Tennessee, I'm still scared of the right tackle, and pressure obviously makes, you know, Darnold come unraveled, and we saw that in the last couple games. And I thought those last couple games were a great instance of, like, yes, we see something happen on TV, but once you see the big picture on film and everything, you see, oh, this happened with the offensive line. I think the Vikings offensive line falling apart was kind of an underrated storyline with them. It's why even when they made the playoffs, I was like, I picked against them when they went against the Rams, because I was like, I just don't trust the line. Their interior line was giving up more pressures than anybody. Cam Robinson, who they traded for, had the highest pressure rate allowed of any starting tackle. So all that pressure, I was like, this is going to pop. Like, as soon as they play a defensive line. So Darnold has to go somewhere with the line, more than receivers or anything, because he has a high-end thrower. He has to be protected, because that's when you see bad Sam. I call him Dice Roll Darnold. I like Sam Darnold, too, because he has those high-end stuff.
The Sam Darnold to Tennessee Titans fan fiction and the entire genre fan fiction might be the worst fan fiction I've ever heard in my life. Like, who's going to read that fan fiction? But that would mean they would pass on the number one pick. Do you see that as a realistic option?
I think they should be hyping up Cam Ward as the greatest player they've ever seen and just okay. going like, man, we had Steve McNair. This is just like him.
Okay, so
and then
not the Diet Coke.
Not the Diet Coke. No, actually Coke plus, you know.
So you do expect them to take a quarterback.
I want them to move on, but find a quarterback answer. So, okay. But I was saying that they hype up Cam Ward to move out of that pick.
And I see.
And get more pieces with it. Oh. And move back, go into still and stay in the top 10, and then find a better player. Like I said, there's not a lot of blue chips, but I think there's still good players in this class. So something that maybe find a tackle that you wouldn't take at one, but now we got seven, and we got the quarterback answer. They have the cap space for it, so.
It'd be great because those notebooks that you filled out with Sam Darnold Titan uniforms sketches.
Right?
We could find something to do with it.
And now the Raiders, too, is the other
team.
Well,
okay, that's the other fan fiction I want to ask you about, and this is someone, obviously, tight relationship, Russell Wilson, Wisconsin quarterback, so I'm sure the brotherhood there, very, very strong. Is it a better fan fiction for him to stay in Pittsburgh or to go to the Raiders and be reunited with Pete Carroll?
I actually think Arthur Smith with the Steelers actually try to do an offense that fits Russell. And I think Russell, I mean, shoot, we watched those Wisconsin years. That is the best version of what Russell plays in. Good run game, heavy play action, launch it. His creation ability has dropped off with age, but he still can throw a beautiful deep ball and everything. Why I'd be scared with Russell going to the Raiders, I know the Pete Carroll connection, Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly likes his quarterbacks to be more efficiency monsters, nickel and dime, make a ton of quick, good decisions. He had a line years ago when I think he was with the Eagles, and someone asked him, who would be your ideal quarterback? And we all thought, like, Mike Vick or something like that, and he goes, Rajon Rondo.
The point guard.
And everyone's like, what? A point guard.
Yeah.
And so that's not Russ. Russ is a big play hunter. And so that's why I don't really see that connection working. But like a Sam Darnold, again, is more of a big play hunter too. So like that's like, but I still see that. I mean, the fact that they paid $6 million to Chip, you know, because they got that new ownership money, that signals that they might be attacking things differently in Vegas now. So that's why I am keeping my eye on them, because that might be something they launch for.
Do you understand why Myles Garrett wants out of Cleveland? And if you're another team, would you give up multiple first rounds for him?
I would. I think because, he's 29, but this is the prime of a pass rusher's career. I don't know if multiple firsts. It's more to me, it's a first and change because also he is 29. but he hasn't missed a lot of time in his career as well. I mean, yeah, he had the suspension the 1 year. But I think that look at some of the teams that can maybe use an edge rusher. Every team could use an edge rusher. But you look at like the Commanders, ton of cap space, need an edge rusher. Kind of, hey, we got a rookie quarterback that's real, a rookie quarterback contract. All right, let's push. Kind of what the Texans try to do this year. But like, I think I understand why Garrett wants to leave. I mean, it's a mess there. And if you look at the contracts that they have, like this last year, or their 2025, like their whole offensive line is basically free agents after this year. Like, this is a resetting team. And so I think he sees that writing on the wall. He's like, get me out of here while I can.
Nate Tice. The podcast is Football 301 on Yahoo Sports. He's a Yahoo Sports NFL analyst. You can hear the pod with Matt Harmon and Charles McDonald. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me,
great
guys.
Talking
great.
With you.
Yep.
Okay, let's turn our attention to Andrew Bogish, who's got all the headlines this morning. Hey, Bogues.
Guys, good morning. Those headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. The Mavericks' first game without Luka was a 43-point loss in Cleveland. The Lakers' first game without Anthony Davis went much, much better.
Now Bronny backs it out.
He wanted to shoot it. There you go.
There it is, a three by Bronny. Good! Bronny James buries a three. How about that?
That's John Ireland on Lakers radio. The Lakers beat the Clippers so badly last night, they let LeBron's kid come out of the stands and shoot a three for fun.
Did he win a car?
Dad had 26 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists in this 122-97 final. As for the big trade, we're still supposed to believe LeBron didn't know it was going down. He said last night he was as shocked as the rest of us Saturday night.
But then when AD called me, I talked to him for quite a while. And even when I got off the phone with him, it still didn't seem real. And it still pretty much didn't seem real until I saw Luka today. And then I saw a clip of AD at the Dallas shoot-around.
Anthony Davis was with the Mavs last night in Philly, but did not play in a 118-116 loss to those Sixers. Joel Embiid was back, 29 points, 11 boards, 10 helpers in his first game since January 4th.
Hey, bro, I heard that Joel Embiid said that he hopes to be back for good. Do you believe him?
Yeah.
Like as a human being or a basketball player?
Believe as a basketball player.
Back Maggie. Doing what?
I expect him to be limping in the second round of the playoffs because I've seen it every year forever. Even if he's back, like what percentage? Forget it.
Wait, hold on.
You're not going to goad me with this.
Wait, I have a question for you. I know that EJ's trolling Pearl, and that's always encouraged on the show. But do you think Joel Embiid saw this trade and was like, ooh, maybe I should get my act together because I could get traded and I might miss out on some money. I don't know.
I don't think anyone would, you know, for a long time the Sixers were like, oh, let's do everything so Joel Embiid doesn't leave. Now I don't know if anybody would take him.
Oh, got it. Okay,
I mean,
so
he's like old Zion.
It.
I mean, I don't think his value is not good right now. But yeah, you could be right. Like
maybe he gets motivated off of this.
Yeah, but what motivation does he need? I mean, is it being
surely you jest?
Isn't being an NBA player motivation enough? Like, why would this change anything?
Folks, what do you think?
Yeah, he means I'm back for good for February. Like, he thinks the season ends at the end of the month.
The Sixers,
that's the best he could do.
It's the best used of one day at a time is Joel Embiid. That phrase "one game at a time" was invented for that dude.
The Sixers are 20-29. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe they should just tank it. They're like three games out of the three seed in the East. The East is so bad after the top three teams. So it's really weird. They're going to make the playoffs with a drastically losing record. So who knows?
What else you got, Bogues?
The Celtics, 112-105 winners in Cleveland. And the Rockets lost in Brooklyn, 99-97. Houston on a season-worst four-game skid. Men's number one, Auburn, took care of Oklahoma, 98-70. The Tigers have won 14 straight, including a 9-0 start in the SEC. Ninth-ranked Michigan State, a 63-61 loss at UCLA. The Bruin win streak is now 6, 5 of those wins coming against ranked teams. Kicker Mason Crosby is retiring after not finding a job this season. He is the Packers' all-time leading scorer, 11th all-time. And on ice, a buzzer beater for Alex Ovechkin.
Verhaeghe turning, firing, and a puck knocked away. Ends up far circle. Ovechkin maybe at the horn. Can he get it away? It counts, I think. Oh, it's close. It's over. Good morning. Good afternoon. And good night, Florida.
That's John Walton on Caps Radio. The empty net goal went in just before the clock hit all zeros, so Ovechkin gets career goal number 878, now 17 away from passing Wayne Gretzky for the most all-time, and his Caps beat the Panthers 6-3. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. Coming up, we've got the odds-on favorite to land Myles Garrett if a trade is indeed made. We know that the Cleveland Browns future Hall of Fame pass rusher wants out. So who and where will he go? We got that for you next. It's Maggie and Perloff from Radio Row. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff Show, live from New Orleans, site of Super Bowl 59. Pearl, that music is the Cowboy quickie music.
What
and the Cowboys
going?
Very far away from the Super Bowl, as we know. Sorry, Cowboys fans. However, there was a little bit of news. So Myles Garrett has requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns, and at least one Vegas sportsbook is putting the Dallas Cowboys as the odds-on favorite to land Garrett at 4-1. Now, that's just one place. If you look around, you can get a lot of different answers to this question, including odds on favorite is actually returning to Cleveland, the Commanders, the Raiders.
I would bet
the Detroit Lions.
Returning to Cleveland.
So that's plus 300 at DraftKings. But again, at least at one Vegas sports book, you can get the Dallas Cowboys at 4-1 odds to land Myles Garrett. And that is your Cowboy quickie.
I looked at a lot of lists. Did you look? You see the same teams over and over again. Commanders, Lions, Bears. A lot of Bills talk. Lot of Bills.
I have
not seen anybody link them to the Cowboys, which is great on those odds. Because, you know, Jerry has to pay him. And apparently Jerry is the cheapest billionaire in the history of the planet. It's been uncovered in the last couple of years. Hence hiring Brian Schottenheimer this offseason. So he's going to hire Brian Schottenheimer and then be like, well, you know what? I'm going to pay this guy more money than any defensive end has ever gotten to play into his 30s. It just seems counterintuitive the way he's been going.
Well, the other part, too, is you're going to have to pay Micah Parsons. So
yeah,
that's a lot of money on that defensive, you know, like for a pass rusher, for a defense. You know, Parsons like an outside linebacker. But you know what I'm saying? So I don't see the Cowboys as a potential landing spot. And the other part is I don't even want to get the Cowboys really. I resisted even getting the Cowboys into this conversation because once the Cowboys get a whiff of this, and realize that there's clicks to be had and there's questions to be asked, they're going to, like, string this thing along just to, you know, fake the fact that they're actually in on Myles Garrett.
Well,
you know, they actually aren't, just to get a little publicity.
Name one free agent they've ever been linked to. People ask them, everyone else on earth is like, you're going to sign Derrick Henry. Like, nah, that's not really our thing. They've never gone after
a player, but the Deion stuff came out pretty fast after they went away from Mike McCarthy, and it looks like that was never, ever happening. So doing stuff for clicks.
Right. You're right, because the Cowboys are doing stuff for clicks, but Deion is a wallflower.
That's
not the... Yeah, Deion could have put that out just as easily as the Cowboys.
So
and everyone knew.
Yes.
Everyone was going after Ben Johnson, all these flashy names of the Cowboys. Nobody was linked to – I mean, Deion was loosely linked to them. They're like, no, we're not in on these big names. They didn't even interview them.
They're
the only team that did interview, like, the good coaches.
Well, now, you know, now we're just talking about the Cowboys coaching situation, but the news peg is that Myles Garrett, at least at one sports book, Cowboys are the odds-on favorite. But let's talk about it because – there's like a reporting now, Diane Rossini and others, that the Cowboys really weren't expecting to be doing a coaching search. And the fact that it broke down with Mike McCarthy, I think, Jerry, we talked about it before this happened, that they were going to bring back McCarthy. And something happened in the negotiation because they interviewed four different people. Two of them were former offensive coordinator. Well, their current offensive coordinator, Schottenheimer. Kellen Moore was the other, the former OC. And then Robert Saleh, and I believe, was it Leslie Frazier, the other? And those two guys were, you know, Robert Saleh, come on. Like, how could you hire somebody after they just failed at the Jets? And I think it was Leslie Frazier. I hope I'm right on that. I'm doing it off the top of my head. And those two gentlemen would also have satisfied the Rooney Rule. So they just got caught here. I really believe that. And I don't think Ben Johnson wanted any part of the Dallas Cowboys, clearly.
Well, I don't think the Cowboys wanted any part of him.
Or they didn't want any part of him.
Because they don't, and I don't think they want any part of Myles Garrett. I'd be shocked if they could pull this off. Myles Garrett's money is going to be super complicated. Like, we can fit, like, we keep saying Buffalo is a great fit. Yeah, but you know how this thing is. It's all about cap space. I don't think the Cowboys are going to do anything. They just spoiled me, or they ruined me this offseason. The all-in, and then signing, who they signed? Eric Kendricks? all in, and they sign a 32-year-old middle linebacker. It's just, I'm never going back to this all-in thing. So, I will never believe the Dallas Cowboys are going to do something exciting.
So, again, this is at least one sports book saying that Myles Garrett is the odds-on favorite to go to the Dallas Cowboys. P. Maddie's in the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Says, Myles Garrett said he wanted a contender. Are the Cowboys contenders? Great question.
No.
I would say absolutely not, but we still have a whole offseason to go. So
I think unless the Cowboys actually go out of character and do some big moves this offseason, I don't think anyone's picking them to do anything next year.
Well, just shut up and let me answer.
And how deflating is it that you had the Eagles and the Commanders playing in the NFC Championship game? I mean, I think we still expect that the Giants are in a rebuild, but you got two teams that, you know, you're looking up at, and there's Commanders don't seem like they're going anywhere, and neither are the Eagles.
No. Let me put you on the spot. What would be the flashiest place for Myles Garrett to sign?
They have no quarterback, but Raiders, that might be the flashiest.
Flashiest is the least flashy.
Well, they're not a contender, so I don't think it's it would satisfy.
Well, the Cowboys would be flashy just by
Yeah, Cowboy flashy, Raiders flashy.
But it'd be
Tom Brady, his big first move would be Myles Garrett.
I'd be the Lions by a mile.
The Lions would be awesome.
Bills too.
But they have to pay Aiden Hutchinson. So, like, and there's a lot of people getting paid on the Lions. Yeah. That's not a cheap team.
But
they draft so well. Why would they want to give up all these draft picks?
I think, they would give up a lot for Myles Garrett. That's the one team. Because they need to get over this hump somehow, and their defense came up really short, obviously.
So one thing I'll disagree with you, and we can talk about the Packers or the Bears. I mean, the Commanders, I don't know if we mentioned them. They're the second best odds, according to DraftKings, after Cleveland. Now, you and I really don't disagree. We do disagree. Excuse me, and I don't want to do a show bet because we did the crawfish thing yesterday, and I gotta chill, and we'll explain a little more about what our afternoon was like yesterday in a moment. But I don't think there's any way he's going back to Cleveland.
Yeah,
and it's not because it's not even because the relationship is so sour. I think that Cleveland sees this as a huge opportunity. It might have been a little bit unnerving at the time. Fan base gets ticked off, but if you are actually in a rebuild mode, what better thing to have and to load you up with draft picks or maybe another young player? I mean, Myles Garrett asking for a trade could be really good news for you. I just don't think this regime should be making that decision because I think they've made a lot of mistakes.
Well, I don't know, though, at his age and money, if they're going to get they're probably going to ask for 2-1s, right?
Well, Tice joined us. He thought 2-1s, right?
But he didn't say, but he also thought, there's no guarantee. I'm just not sure that they get what they want. Remember, Brandon Ayuk asked for a trade. Asking for a trade could be part of a negotiation for more money. And Garrett needs more money. So maybe this is just leverage.
Well, Garrett's made a lot of money. I know it's far from me to count his wallet, what's in his wallet. But I think when he says he wants to win, he's being serious. You don't think so?
I think this is much more motivated by money.
Interesting. He's got a lot of money, number one. He's 8 years in. And he's, breaking records with multiple seasons with at least 12 sacks, 14 sacks. He's tying Lawrence Taylor on all of these stats. He's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. The only thing that is left for him is winning something. Yeah. He's only won one playoff game. And I think maybe he looks at Joe Thomas, the left tackle who walked into the Hall of Fame but never sniffed the playoffs.
A
playoff win.
And you think it's just coincidence that all his guaranteed money is out? He's only making $23 million. It just happens that he's going to be drastically underpaid. When has it ever in the history of any pro sport not been all about money?
Interesting. EJ, can we put the poll question up? Myles Garrett wanting a trade, is it about winning or is it about money?
Oh, my God. I don't even think that's poll worthy. Of course it's about money.
Wait, hold on. Let me quickly, if I can.
Winning? What does he care about winning? He's been in Cleveland for 8 years.
Well, I mean, he couldn't help it. He got drafted number one overall, was he going to not go there? All right, I'm trying to just get quickly Myles Garrett career earnings. Just, can my laptop go as fast?
Whatever
as
it
humanly
is,
possible.
It ain't enough.
Career earnings, $124 million.
You're crazy if you don't think that he is very hell-bent on a new contract.
Well, he might want both. He might want to go to a winner and also get paid.
He's a defensive end. He's not a – I don't know. I think that Cleveland could give him $150 million reasons to stay in Cleveland. I'll bet Cleveland, although the odds aren't great, but I'll still bet Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm going to bet the field. Anywhere but Cleveland.
Yeah, but I don't think you can bet the field. You got to pick someone. Pick someone. Come on, go.
Commanders. Washington Commanders.
Yeah, That'll work.
That's what I think. Maggie at Perloff, 855-212-4227. Love hanging out with you on this Wednesday. Even though we're in New Orleans, doesn't mean the show changes. We still got the great debate for you today. You know we wouldn't let you down. It's Maggie and Perloff.
The Commanders.